Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Common Threads 2, the second book in a three-book series by L.A. Champagne, follows the lives of Joe and Liz, who naively try to establish roots in a place where their interracial marriage is taboo. This novel narrates the couple's trials and tribulations and their experiences with racial cruelty and death. Excellent reviews, one calling it a tense tale with a complex portrayal of loss, life, and love. L.A. Champagne is an author from Barrie, Ontario, Canada. She spends part of her time in a wheelchair due to progression of spina bifida and hydrocephalus. This is her second book in a series of three, Common Threads 3, set for publication later this year. And L.A. Champagne, author of the Common Threads trilogy, Common Threads 2, joining us on This Week in America. Lorianne, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. I'm pleased to be here.
And it's a special pleasure today because I understand it's your birthday and you're all allowing us to share that with you. So thank you. Thank you for being here and happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for sharing it with me.
Well, it is our pleasure and anxious to talk about the Common Threads trilogy, specifically book number two, Common Threads 2. You'll find it, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. What was the inspiration for this series? Where did this idea come from, this storyline?
The storyline came from years and years of learning, school learning, high school learning, and just little bits and pieces of everything that sort of hit my little brain. On the night my second grandchild was born, when I woke up in the middle of the night and there was this novel in my head, and I had to get out of bed and start making notes.
Well, it's a good thing you did.
My grandchild is 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
So the entire trilogy's taken 14 years.
What an amazing story it is, and I say excellent reviews. Let's explain the title. It's the Common Threads trilogy, specifically today, Common Threads 2. Where did the title Common Threads come from, and what's that meaning?
Common threads can be many things. If you look at societies from the 1850s, which is when my book starts, right through to the 1970s, there is common threads in every decade of social injustice. And so you can just weave common threads everywhere, and there is common threads in every decade that I wrote about. And I find that it can stand for the common threads you'll find in the book, which I wrote were very human and very the colors are interesting.
Yes.
Let's just say that. Colors are interesting. And if you read book one, you'll understand why. But you'll also get it when you kind of read about it in book two. I make everything so that I refresh memories, and people that haven't watched or read the first one, then they can just read my foreword, because I give them notes, and they can just make their own common threads as they go.
They can pick up from there and follow the story. And I guarantee you, they will want to go back and figure, I want more of this story. I want the backstory.
So
I want in
want
depth.
To go back.
You'll want to go back. And you'll find Common Threads 1 as well, the usual places, Amazon. This is Common Threads 2, specifically we're talking about. And I love the title because you see these common threads running through decades, through generations. Let's yes. talk about the main characters in Common Threads too. I mentioned several names. So talk about main characters in number two.
Okay, I talked about you talked about John and Liz, which are technically main characters because they give, well, Mummy gives birth to the actual main characters of the entire trilogy. It is a set of multiracial black and white twins.
And you follow this is amazing, the stories, because, and anxious to get Common Threads 3.
Yeah, but was also in the 1947.
Yes. It's amazing what you do with the characters. We feel like we know the characters as we're reading at Common Threads 2, the book we're talking about. You have this way of mixing fictitious characters with real historical events.
Yes, I did that on purpose. As I'm thinking back to 1850s, like, what would a baby's bottle look like if it was taken away from its mother? So I went and I studied baby bottles for that era and what they would look like. I did things like that. I discovered when Kleenex were made so that I wouldn't put them in the wrong era.
Oh, yes.
there's just lots of research on the little things. But everything that was American, which most of the book is split between Chatham, Ontario, and Philadelphia, Mississippi.
And two different worlds, and you expose those worlds and the lives.
I do, and I expose them literally with the news, with every, I'm confident that I studied them, every story, and I put maybe a spin on a couple of things, but not enough of a spin that you don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. With the research, how long did that take? Did you have any help in research other than Google? And it's so nice to have that now. It saves a lot of trips. To the library.
I had no help with the research. I knew what direction I wanted to go to, but all of a sudden it occurred to me as I got into it, oh no, I can't let these people live for 100 years. I've got to have knowledge of medical things. So I have a friend that's a doctor, and he signed on with me to do all the medical help. So he did a lot of medical research, a lot he already knew. When I didn't know something and he didn't know, he would, we would sit in the hospital cafeteria doing this in the morning. And one morning we were talking about miscarriages. And he said, well, I don't know. My wife didn't have a miscarriage. So another doctor was walking by him and he grabbed him by the arm and sat him down at our table. And he said, here's your man. And he's now head of gynecology in Barry Hospital.
You know, it's interesting. You've got a very well-respected research assistant that's working with you on the book.
Yes, I have. I've had a lot of assistants. actually, I have cops. I've had priests, funeral directors. Like, I wanted to know everything before I put it in print.
And as a reader, we will know everything. And as you're reading through that, you can rest assured that, okay, this is fictitious characters, but these are real circumstances. As you're setting up the storyline, was there any concern that the subject matter might offend some people? And maybe that's okay if you offend some people. Maybe that's what's needed. What were your thoughts as you were going through? Because you do some touchy subjects.
Yeah. My thoughts were that, for example, let's use the word that starts with the big letter N.
Yes.
I had such a problem typing that I threw up. So, and I eventually got better and better at just typing the word. Like, I knew it had to go into the conversation. I knew it had to be real because of where I was and because of where the time span was. And my foreword in book three actually is I make no apologies for what I have written, because what I have written is truth and history. It's basically history verbatim.
And sometimes it's a little unpleasant, isn't it?
You just can't ignore it.
It's interesting, the thought process, the agony, it sounds like an author goes through in trying to replicate what was happening at that time.
Yeah.
The book we're talking about...
The doctor and I, when I was killing off my first person, and he was my favorite at the time, I said, I can't do it. And he said, come on, we'll do it together.
That's nice. That's nice. Have the doctor with you as you're doing that, avoiding legal problems by doing it that way.
Great.
The book is The Common Threads Trilogy, Common Threads 2, L.A. Champagne, Lorianne, L.A. Champagne, the pen name. You'll find the book available at Amazon, the usual places. Champagne is S-H-A-M-P-A-G-N-E.
C-H.
Yes.
C-H.
Yes, C-H-A-M-P-A-G-N-E. I was getting excited talking about champagne. So that's the correct spelling. You Google it, you'll find it.
I just tell people it's just by the bottle.
And you can find that information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Do people, do you think, understand the political climate, how bad it was for minorities during this eras that you were talking about?
I hope by reading my book that they'll know, because I didn't pull any punches. I told them what it's like at a slave market, what it's like to be in the bottom of slave ships, things like that. That's the things we don't think about these days.
No, and really need to.
It's just like, so people don't think about things going back.
And as you're reading.
And then I wonder about the people from the past, did they ever think it would ever get solved by now? The racial injustices and the all of that that goes along with it. Did they ever think of us? They thought that maybe by now we'd have it sorted out.
Well, it's interesting. Do you think now some of what we see going on in the world today, the world as it stands today, does it sometimes mirror some of what happened back then?
Yes, I do believe that. I do believe that. You can't start it somewhere and not weave it through the generations. Somebody always slips through and continues it, because not all people are kind.
I want to ask about the educational aspect of this, and I hate to say educational because some people think you can't be educational and entertaining, and you, in fact, are. There is an educational aspect, isn't there, to this, an historic aspect to it?
There is. You can go off in so many different directions. I allow the reader to just, go with the history, go with my story. There is a story there. Maybe I've clouded it with too many historical facts, but I don't think so.
No, you could.
I think if I'm fictitiously making up a 150-year-old story, I've got to know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's obvious from, you know, our conversation that you really labored over that to make sure you knew what you were talking about. And that comes across in the pages of Common Threads 2, the second in the trilogy by L.A. Champagne, our guest on the program, mentioned recently in the New York Times. How does that make somebody feel when you get the New York Times paying attention to what you're doing?
Oh, well, if I could have got up and done backflips, I'm sure I would have.
That's
but
amazing.
That's how my heart felt. It went into backflips, and it's like I'm talking to everybody, pushing it under everybody's nose.
Well, and well, you should. You should be quite proud of that, what you were able to do. The book by L.A. Champagne is the Common Threads Trilogy, Common Threads 2, the book available at Amazon, all the usual places. I mentioned the fact that you've been dealing with spina bifida, hydrocephalus for years. That would set back many people. It didn't with you. Talk about that and the impact that, well, explain it first of all, and the impact that's had on your career, because you've not let it get in the way.
No. I had a relatively normal childhood considering I had the worst form of spina bifida before death.
Wow.
The next step was death. So I was just before that, and I had an open hole in my back, and I had two of my spine, my bones were sticking up, and there was nothing in between them, and they had to push them back into my spine and rebuild, and they had never successfully done that at SickKids until me.
Fantastic.
Oh. And I'm known as the miracle baby of 62.
I was going to say a walking miracle is actually what happened.
Yeah, walking, talking, thinking, college education.
I was going to say, you got a college degree in all of this, a head of PR for a hospital. I mean, it's been, and now a successful author.
Yes. Well, the success part, we'll see.
Well, you're two-thirds
I'm
of the
sure
way there through this series. So, no, you've got the credentials to be able to say that. Do you think that's an inspiration for other people with disabilities? Because, boy, you could have easily given up.
So.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of all the pain you must have gone through, maybe still going through. An inspiration to people?
Yeah, I am. I always try to be inspirational to everyone. I have PSW girls and gentlemen that come in and wash me in the morning, and I teach them about my spina bifida. So I teach anybody that's willing to learn. I don't mind showing my scars physically or figuratively.
Well, you're an inspiration on a personal level and certainly on a writing level. How seriously we found that you take your writing, the responsibility you have as you're telling this story in a world that's not fabricated. It's a world that's built on reality and built on fact.
We actually held off book three's publication because of the emotional unrest last summer.
Interesting. I was just going to ask you, I mentioned that probably going to be out this year. What are you working on in the future?
In about 3 weeks.
Oh, fantastic. And I hope we have a chance to talk about that. That'll be Common Threads 3. So you've got 1, 2, and soon 3 will be coming out.
And this is the biggest book. This is the end of the story.
Now, how difficult is it? I got a couple minutes left here, but I always, when a writer ends a story, whether it's just a one-off novel or whether it's a series, a trilogy in your case, mm-hmm. how difficult is it going to be? How difficult was it for you, because you finished it, to leave these characters and the story behind?
It's funny. I just kept writing and writing and writing, and I said, hey, wait a minute. And one day I just stopped writing.
Interesting.
So I thought, end of story. I've wrote enough.
End of, well, that's the way to do it. The end of story.
And that's the way I ended it.
And that's so interesting.
I ended it and I felt good where I left it.
Well, and
I left it in the 1970s.
Ooh, we're getting close to where we are now. So it'll be interesting. Many of us can remember back to even the younger portion of the audience.
People our age are going to really enjoy it. And I hope younger people learn from it.
Well, the book we're talking about, it's a series, it's a trilogy, the Common Threads trilogy. Common Threads 2 is what we've been talking about on the program today. Common Threads 1 and 2, both available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Soon, Common Threads 3, by our guest on the program, L.A. Champagne. That's C-H-A-M-P-A-G-N-E. Book available, as I say, Amazon, all the usual places. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Lorianne, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being with us. Happy birthday once again. Thank you for being with us on the program. Enjoyed having you here. Looking forward to Common Threads 3. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. We have as well. So it's time now to blow out the candles and eat some cake. So enjoy the rest of your birthday. Thank you
Thank
so much.
You.
You're welcome.
Bye.
L.A. Champagne, our guest on the program, the book, The Common Threads Trilogy, Common Threads 2, book available at Amazon, the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.